Good evening. Welcome to God's house. Welcome to our joint ascension service as we gather this evening to rejoice that he lives, and he lives to rule over his church. As you and I rejoice in our ascended King, we rejoice in how he continues to guide and direct all things for the good of you and me as we worship our Lord and our God. The service is provided for you as you and I rejoice in our King. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Clap your hands, all you nations.
Shout to God with cries of joy.
How awesome is the Lord Most High,
the great King over all the earth.
God reigns over the nations.
God is seated on his holy throne.
God has ascended amid shouts of joy.
Lord, amid the sounding of trumpets.
Sing praises to God, sing praises.
Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth.
Sing to him a psalm of praise.
We gather on this day that is often overlooked. Jesus' ascension to his glorious throne, sadly, means we sometimes forget that he is still our Lord and that he is still with us. We gather to worship our King, yet our sin means we have no right to be in his presence. But our risen and ascended Lord makes it possible for us to gather before our triune God. As we gather, we confess our sins.
Almighty and most merciful God, we acknowledge that we are by nature sinful, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and that we have not loved you with our whole heart, and that we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We ask you, O Lord, to be forgiving to what we have been, to help us amend what we are, and by your mercy, direct what we believe, that we may always walk in your commandments and follow in the footsteps of our Savior Jesus, our Lord and King.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Lord Jesus, King of glory, on this day you ascended far above the heavens, and at God's right hand you rule the nations. Leave us not alone, we pray, but grant us the spirit of truth, that at your command and by your power, we may be your witnesses in all the world. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
He lives. All Easter season, we have been rejoicing in the fact that our Lord and our Savior lives. And as you and I worship on this Ascension evening, we rejoice that our living one is the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is above all things for his church. As we turn our attention to the lessons for this Ascension day, we watch our King carry out his reign. Our first lesson from Acts chapter 1 reminds us that he continues to rule his church as he sends out his messengers to proclaim his will. I wrote my first book, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began doing and teaching, until the day he was taken up, after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he presented himself alive to the apostles with many convincing proofs. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and told them things about the kingdom of God. Once, when he was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for what the Father promised, which you heard coming. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they were together with him, they asked, Lord, is this the time when you are going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said these things, he was taken up while they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he went away. Suddenly, two men in white clothes stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. This is the word of our Lord. Our second lesson takes us to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. As you and I marvel at the power and majesty of our Lord and our God, you and I rejoice that our King rules for you and for me, for us who believe. I never stop giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing Christ fully. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, just how rich his glorious inheritance among the saints is, just how surpassingly great his power is for us who believe. It is as great as the working of his mighty strength, which God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God also placed all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This too is the word of our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel takes us to Luke's gospel account of the ascension. As the disciples left after watching him go with joy, so you and I also follow our King with that same joy. Jesus said to them, these are my words, which I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, this is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I am sending you what my Father promised me, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. He led them out as far as the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. So they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They were continually in the temple courts, praising and blessing God. Amen. This is the gospel of our Lord.
All praise be to our Almighty, our gracious Lord God, who has won the victory, who has redeemed us and made us his, who has won a victory that we share in by his grace. My dear fellow redeemed brothers and sisters in Christ who are with us here today, my dear fellow redeemed brothers and sisters in Christ who are joining us by live stream this recorded service. On this day, as we celebrate the Ascension, we do so in victory. And yet things don't feel quite as festive, do they? It's not quite so busy around here as it normally is when we have our joint Ascension service. It's definitely not quite as busy as it usually is when we have a graduation of our eighth graders. And it's definitely not quite as festive feeling as we say farewell to faithful teachers. And yet, although it doesn't feel quite as festive, and it isn't quite as loud, and there's not as much going on, and we're definitely not enjoying a potluck dinner, it still is festive. It's just as joyful, just as triumphant, and we have just as many reasons to rejoice. And as we celebrate the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ and join the disciples on the Mount of Olives and gaze up to heaven to see Jesus, we are reminded of why we rejoice. We are reminded of true peace, true comfort. So it's also fitting that we are also in this service closing out this school year, which again wasn't quite as festive as it usually is. No field trips, no end-of-the-year get-togethers, not even being able to spend time talking with our friends and saying farewell to them. It doesn't feel the same, does it? And yet as we pause and gaze toward Christ Jesus and are reminded of the victory, and as we close out this year, and as we celebrate the ministry of three faithful teachers, we do so with an attitude of joy and triumph, because our ascended God reigns. So today, for you, our eighth graders, Clara, Avery, Ben, we pause and we look to Jesus once again, and we praise him because of the triumph we have. And as we close out this school year, we're going to focus on one word that we all often think of in connection with school. Questions. Think of how much we think of questions related to school and education. Questions are a vital part of learning. When we have questions, almost every test we have is based on questions. Throughout the course of the classroom environment, we are hearing questions. And as we consider those questions, we do so for a purpose. As teachers, when you prepare hundreds, maybe thousands of lessons and lesson plans, questions were a vital part of that, weren't they? But the questions that we consider are not questions of doubt. They're not questions intended to trip us up. They're not questions intended to confuse us. And right now, as we gather to celebrate the Ascension in a more subdued setting, we might even have questions right now. But the questions that we consider are the ones given to us by our God in his word for our attention today. And they are questions presented by the Lord for this purpose, to point you and me to the answer, to help us see Jesus even more clearly. As we read God's word this evening from Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 34, listen to the questions. And as you consider these questions posed for us by the Apostle Paul, may each one of us rejoice in the answer and be encouraged. We now read from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. What then will we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Indeed, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? Who will bring an accusation against God's elect. God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, and more than that, was raised to life, is the one at God's right hand, and who is also interceding for us. Today we are joining in spirit and faith with the 2020 vision of faith to stand on the Mount of Olives and watch Christ ascending into heaven. And as we see our Lord ascended, the triumphant King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we consider these questions, but not asked to cause us to doubt, but rather to get us to look to Jesus even more. And we will rejoice in our God's triumphant ascension answer. Our text began with a question. The apostle asked, "What then shall we say about these things?" If we're going to appreciate that question, we need to consider what is he talking about when he says these things. He's talking about what he had just said. And when he talks about these things, what the apostle had just expounded on is the fact that we are living in a world where we are suffering. We are living in a world where we are groaning. We are living in a world where we need help. We are living in a world where we need the Holy Spirit to assist us and speak for us as we pray. But then he reminds us we are living in a world where even in the midst of all of this groaning, all of this sighing, all of these difficulties, he reminds us in the preceding verses that the Lord is in total control and he works out everything to be a blessing for his children. And after expounding on that, the apostle entered into this section. What more can we say about all these things? And in asking that question, what more can we say? He is causing them, while they were groaning and suffering and struggling in sin and facing death all day long, to look to the one who is triumphant, to look to the one who lives, to look to the one who has lifted the burden off of them and off of us, to look to the one who is our Redeemer. In this text, the apostle then goes on to ask 5 more questions. And they were done for a reason, to open our eyes even further, to open our minds and our hearts even further, and to more clearly see our Lord. Today, as we again look to our ascended Lord and celebrate the victory we have in Christ, we can make exactly the same exclamation. What more can we say? How can we be any more blessed than we already are? Regardless of what happens or doesn't happen, regardless of what situation a person is in, no matter how much we are groaning and sighing and weighed down, the truth is still the truth that Christ Jesus died, Christ Jesus lives, and he is in control, reigning at the right hand of God. And listen to how your comfort, our comfort, is pictured by the apostle as he asks another question. He asked, "Who will bring any accusation against God's elect?" With that question, the apostle is taking us into a courtroom. And he brings us into that courtroom and he asks, "Who is able to accuse those whom God has chosen?" Those who belong to the Lord. You and I stand in that courtroom. And as we are standing in that courtroom, there are an army of sins being marched before us. And as the army of sins are being brought into the court against us, there are those three generals, those three accusers. There is Satan bringing up the sins that haunt us and whispering in our ear, trying to get us to doubt whether or not we could actually be loved by God because we are so guilty. There is Satan whispering in our ear his lies and his enticements, trying to make sin look appealing and attractive. The accusations are flying out, and as the accusations are coming, there is the world, the other general, making the sin look pretty and enticing, making us wonder if we want to go that route, which is a very real temptation. To want to live for the world and the temporary, immediate joy it brings, rather than our God, who is the author and preserver of all life. The accusation is flying out. And then that third accuser comes from within, our own self, who wants to elevate ourselves, listen to the devil so easily falls prey, and wants life on his own terms. It's because we struggle with that sin that we daily ask questions. Not necessarily questions to learn, but questions that express doubt of God's goodness. Questions that express frustration because we don't always like how he operates in our lives or what is going on. But then remember why the apostle asked the question. Who will bring any accusation against God's elect? And as you and I are standing in that courtroom, he gives the answer. He says, God is the one who justifies. The accusations ring out empty. They drop to the ground. They don't stick to us because the guilt has been removed by the one who justifies. The accusations become meaningless and empty because Christ is stronger than our sin and stronger than our guilt. It is God who justifies, which means by the grace of God, as we gather together as people who are weak and struggle daily and at times groan, we do so as people who have been fully redeemed, restored, and forgiven. Think about that. Right with God. Connected to God. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, was raised to life. He is the one who is at God's right hand and who is also interceding for us. It's humbling, isn't it? To be reminded that we are just not in control. It's humbling during this time, this pandemic, with so many questions, because we are being reminded we are just not in control. The way the service is going this evening, the fact that we are having it as we are, is not what we intended for, it's not what we planned for, it's not what we hoped for. But it is a reminder, we're not in control. But then we are reminded Christ is at the right hand of God. He is at the position of power and glory and splendor. And there isn't a living being that doesn't draw a breath without his control. There isn't a star that shoots across the sky at night that he is not in control of. He is the one upholding the world. He is the one in control of all the animals and the wildlife. The plants are growing and the crops are growing because Christ is in control. And he who is in total control is working out all things for you and for me. He doesn't promise to do it our way, but he does all things his way, which are always good. He doesn't promise to do all things in a way that we can grasp, but he promises to do all things in the way that is right and good. And as he reigns at the right hand of God, did you hear what the apostle reminds us he is doing? He's interceding for us. He is right there on our behalf. He is our advocate, not the accuser in the courtroom, but the advocate speaking for each one of us and reminding you he is your Savior, our Savior, and we belong to him as his children. And there is nothing that can take that comfort away because it rests on Jesus, who is Almighty, who lives. Again, this service this evening is not exactly as we have planned. But Claire, Avery, Ben, congratulations. This is your graduation. We pray that the Lord bless you as you go on to the next level, to Luther High School. And as we do that, there are unknowns there too, right? But you know what matters most. You know that Christ died for you, Christ lives, and Christ is reigning on your behalf, and he will take care of you. To our three teachers, thank you for your faithful service. Going into new areas of life, the Lord used your efforts. The Lord used you to touch the lives. I'm not going to guess how many, but quite a few children. The Lord will be with you when you take the next step into what area you're doing, and he will use you in his service. For our school and our congregations, Christ and St. John's, we rest upon that triumphant comfort and peace that we have our God's ascension answer. And maybe that right there is one of the blessings of COVID-19. It's causing us to remember, I need to rely on the Lord even more. I need to focus on what I know in his word. I need to rest on him for my daily strength. I need to rely on him and rejoice over how blessed I am. May we always do that, because we, by the grace of God, have his ascension answer. Amen. Let us now join together to confess our faith in the Lord as we speak the responsive, the second article portion of the Apostles' Creed from Martin Luther's Large Catechism. Let this be the summary of this article, that the little word Lord simply means the same as Redeemer, that is, he who has brought us back from the devil to God, from death to life, from sin to righteousness, and now keeps us safe there. The remaining parts of this article simply serve to clarify and express how and by what means this redemption was accomplished. That is, how much it cost Christ and what he paid and risked in order to win us and bring us under his dominion. That is to say, he became man, conceived and born without sin, of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin, that he might become Lord over sin. Moreover, he suffered, died, and was buried, that he might make satisfaction for me and pay what I owe, and with silver or gold, but with his own precious blood. All this in order to become my Lord. For he did none of these things for himself, nor had he any need of them. Afterward, he rose again from the dead, swallowed up and devoured death, and finally ascended into heaven, and assumed dominion at the right hand of the Father. The devil and all powers, therefore, must be subject to him, and lie beneath his feet until finally at the last day. He will completely divide and separate us from the wicked world, the devil, death, sin, etc.
Indeed, the entire gospel that we preach depends on the proper understanding of this article. Upon it all, our salvation and blessedness are based, and it is so rich and broad that we can never earn it fully.
At this time, we'll do the graduation and recognition of our departing teachers. Graduates, Pastor said some great stuff in his sermon. I had to keep crossing stuff off on my sheet.
Sorry.
It was good. No, you've heard multiple times, and you are well aware that this wasn't the way that you thought your grade school experience would end. You think that Jesus' disciples felt the same way towards the end of his ministry? It probably wasn't the end of his ministry that they were expecting either. He died. He rose. To his credit, he told them he was going to do that, and that they were still a little surprised that he was going to do that. Then as we celebrated today with Ascension, he took them out for a walk, blessed them, and ascended up into heaven, and he was gone. Also, probably not what they were expecting towards the end of Jesus' ministry. But in the Gospel reading in Luke 24, verse 45, the words that are in there, it says, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." You and I benefit from that understanding of the scriptures. You can see Jesus more clearly, as Pastor said. You learned about God's word in your time here at Christ St. John's. You were trained in the scriptures by your pastors, by your parents, by your teachers, and they helped you to understand those scriptures. The three of you are going on to Luther High next fall. You don't know what that's going to look like, how that's going to look when we get back to school in the fall, but there is something you can be sure about. You have a faculty at Luther High, a Christian faculty there that's going to continue to train you in the scriptures. They're going to help you understand the scriptures. You'll have chapel and devotion opportunities there. You will continue to worship at your home churches. You'll continue to worship there. Through all of that, in the next step of your life, you are going to continue to grow in your knowledge of the scriptures as well. You will be able to see Jesus more clearly. Looking a little farther beyond the next 4 years, you've got ideas in your head, maybe, of what you might want to do later on down the road, but that's a pretty long road off yet. You don't know exactly how that's going to turn out. What you do know is that Jesus has promised to be with you through all of that. My prayer is that you continue to grow in Jesus, continue to grow in the scriptures, grow in the knowledge of Jesus, so you can stay certain in your hope of joining Jesus in heaven as well. So may God bless each of you, keep you safe this summer and into your transition into high school. At this time, I'll have each one of you come up and get your diploma, starting with Clara Bonnet. Avery Jordan, and Benjamin Werner. At this time, then, also, I would like our three departing teachers to come up, just to recognize you, and again, thank you for your service to St. John's, your service to your Savior here. Sue Riediger, who will be stepping down from preschool, Ms. Barb Knobloch, who will be retiring, and Ms. Hannah Ellingbow, who has accepted another call to Appleton. We thank you for your service to St. John and for your service to the Lord. Let's give them a round of applause, please.
We continue with the prayer of the church. Let us pray. Blessed Jesus, you ascended to the right hand of your Father's majesty, power, and glory, and now reign as eternal King of kings and Lord of lords.
We praise you for your victory over sin, death, Satan, and hell.
O ascended prophet, equip your church to proclaim the precious gospel message of God's love for all the world.
Give courage to our hearts, power to our words, and success to our efforts.
O ascended high priest, represent us before the Father as his own dear children and heirs. Defend us against Satan's every accusation. Ask for the Father's rich blessings in our everyday lives.
Plead for his mercy and grace on our behalf.
O ascended King, direct the affairs of governments and nations that they may serve the best interest of your church.
You are our Lord, Master, and King.
Blessed Jesus, we thank you for the gifts you give to your church. We praise you for the ministries of Mrs. Barbara Knobloch, who is retiring, Miss Hannah Ellen Bolt, who will be teaching in Appleton, Wisconsin next year, and Mrs. Susan Riediger, who is resigning.
And continue to bless them as they serve you in new ways.
Blessed Jesus, watch over Mrs. Melissa Scriber and Miss Erin Wenzel, who have accepted calls to teach at Christ St. John's this next year. Guide Mrs. Elizabeth Hagedorn as she considers our call to teach grades 3 and 4.
Give them the confidence of your promises and the joy of your forgiveness as they serve you.
As the disciples lifted their eyes to watch your ascension, so lift our eyes daily to look for your coming again in glory.
Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Lord Jesus, we come before you on behalf of the family of Ben Dale, who passed away this afternoon. Merciful Father, how mysterious are your judgments and your ways beyond our understanding. Yet we seek refuge in your love, for you have assured us that it is more than sufficient for our weakness. Continue to grant the family the strength that they need as they mourn this loss. Compassionate Father, in your mercy, you transform even sickness and disease into a blessing for your children. With this confidence, we commit all who are sick or suffering to your tender care. We pray especially for Paul Dable, who has been hospitalized, and also for Andrea Groth, who is recovering from surgery because of a broken bone. Provide healing and relief according to your infinite wisdom and boundless mercy. Grant patient endurance as they continue and as they recover. And help them both to find true spiritual strength through Jesus and his cross during this time of physical weakness. By the work of the Holy Spirit, teach them to trust in your forgiveness, grace, and love as you teach all of us to trust in that same grace. Ascended Lord, hear us as we now join in the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In peace, Lord, you let your servant now depart according to your word.
For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared for every people.
A light to lighten the Gentiles,
and the glory of your people Israel.
May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Once again, thank you for joining us this evening. To those of you, family and friends, our students and our faculty, we thank you for being with us. Thank you to you who joined us through the live stream. We pray that our risen and ascended Lord will be your strength and your guidance. We have one more announcement. Thank you to Pastor Schultz for sharing God's word with us this evening.
Thank you, Pastor. Just as we conclude our school year tomorrow, officially as our last day of school, with our graduation today, continue to watch on Fast Track, watch for the announcements. We don't know what next year is going to look like next year. As soon as we know, we will let everyone know. But thank you for a good year. Thank you for the patience through this fourth quarter, for all the families of students out there. We look forward to seeing you in person when we can,